Was there ever such a time? Then suddenly it's done. The moment passes. Where does the time go? Must we let it end? Where does the time go? Gone too soon, my friend. And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there.
The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
And now it's time for Journal.
Yes. Hello, this is WHFR Dearborn, and this is Jay Koronik speaking to you live, broadcasting from outdoors at Dearborn Homecoming, a 32nd annual Dearborn Homecoming event. The WHFR crew is here. We have our two tents set up just south of Dearborn's Ford Field in West Dearborn. It's a beautiful day out here. A whole bunch of visitors from Camp Peace are here, in fact, for the carnival rides. A bunch of little kids in Camp Peace. And carnival rides have been started at 11 o'clock, and we're really busy right now. Even though typically on Fridays the morning activities are going till about 1 or 1:30, typically what they call Elder Fest, just events for senior citizens. But the rest of the world has discovered the day, and I'm sure a lot of people who work around Michigan Avenue have walked north here in West Dearborn to maybe have lunch. The food courts are open now. And, of course, as I said, the carnival rides have started, too. So nothing like having a hot dog and a Ferris wheel ride before you go back to work, right? This hour, of course, is our hour for the new WHFR Journal, Local News and Alternative Views. And as I think I mentioned, my name is Jay Koronik. I'm your host, and along with me today is Dennis Reimars, our WHFR News Director. We have several different topics we're going to be trying to get into the hour today. Dearborn Heights have come to an agreement about sharing a fueling station for their fire department. It's a little controversy there. They have a great editorial opinion in the Press and Guide from last Wednesday from Tom Watkins about the difference between, or the similarities between, making sausage and making laws. And I'd like to go into that with you. We have an interesting flyer we picked up from someone who's already campaigning against the Dearborn Millage coming up in August. We'd like to read the flyer to you to see if it makes sense to you. We also have results of the Dearborn Heights City Clerk primary race. We have the City of Dearborn exact wording, yes, the exact wording of their four advisory questions, which are very interesting in the way they're worded. Multiple choice, kind of strange, I think. And if there's time, also some commentaries from Jim Hightower that I'm going to read one or the other out loud, since he isn't here at Dearborn Homecoming. So in the fresh air, happy to meet you and have you come by our tent. We have Mr. White, we have DJ Bam, we have Susan McGraw, our general manager right now, we have Tammy, and of course Dennis and myself, who are busy talking for the next hour. But come on down to Dearborn Homecoming. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, 11 to 8, WHFR will be here and broadcasting announcements and updates for you. But now I'm going to turn my headset over to Dennis, who's going to interview someone from our Dearborn Sustainability Committee. Go to it.
Well, thank you, Jay. And as he said, I am here with a very special guest, Mary Ann Beyer from the, well, tell me, you know what, you've changed the name, I think, because I used to call it something, and now I think it's called the Sustainability Coalition?
Right. We used to call ourselves Dearborn Cool Cities because that was a program sponsored with the Sierra Club.
Right.
And it was different from the Michigan Cool Cities that was initiated by Governor Granholm. And
no, was that, but that was part of the program?
No. We work with the Sierra Club, and they give us a lot of guidance.
Okay.
And they had their own Cool Cities program because what they're trying to do is eliminate coal as a source of energy.
Okay.
And so they're trying to use the Cool Cities to make the housing and everything in the city more sustainable,
and
so you use less energy.
For the energy change, I get
right.
it.
Right.
Okay.
And so that's why they're calling it Cool Cities.
Now, Marianne, you and I met probably a year ago,
yeah.
and I know it was through the actual, the wonderful sustainability panels
mm-hmm.
that I think you were a big part of initiating.
Right.
You founded those, and we still have them. We'll get to that. But one of the things that you did recently was, you're wearing the shirt, Dearborn Cares Festival, and that was in July.
Mm-hmm. June.
Oh, I'm sorry, in June. Yeah, yeah. Wow, it's already August. It was in June. And tell me a little bit about that and what the point was and if you accomplished what you wanted.
Yes, we did. It was a learning experience for all of us because we are still learning about how to be sustainable and what is sustainable and how to be sustainable and products that are sustainable. And for example, we partnered with GreenSafe. They were able to let us purchase water and compostable plates and utensils at a cost,
okay.
which was really great. And
at their cost?
At their cost,
okay.
yes. So that really saved us money, but it also allowed us to be more sustainable because they're compostable. You can put them in the recycle bin or in the trash. They're compostable. And that's what we're doing today is selling water in compostable bottles.
You're okay.
And we're raising money. With that money, we are going to give it to Adopt-A-Watt, which Dearborn is having a program through Adopt-A-Watt where they're going to upgrade their parking structures in West Dearborn with LED lighting, which is very sustainable, very energy efficient, and also put electric voltage plug-ins for EV cars or electric cars that are going to be coming out, and that is through Adopt-A-Watt. It is a total, it's a charitable organization that you raise money for. You give the money to Adopt-A-Watt. They put in everything, and it doesn't cost the city anything.
Now, how can they get a hold of Adopt-A-Watt for that program?
Well, we're doing fundraising for them over the weekend at the Dearborn Homecoming, selling the compostable BPH-free water bottles with water in it, and we've got them all nice and ice cold for today.
So anybody that comes by where your booth, and
yes.
first of all, let's find out where you're at here at Homecoming.
We are at the Cedars Coney Island / the Going Green Foundation
okay.
booth in the nonprofit food court.
Okay. Excellent. And so anything purchased there, that money goes to the Adopt-A-Watt program?
Just the water bottle.
Just the water
bottle.
Just
the water.
Okay.
Yeah. The rest of it is going to the Going Green Foundation.
Okay.
They're doing supported with the Cedars food, and the money is donated to the Going Green Foundation.
That's wonderful. Now, so you would consider Dearborn Cares the festival a success, considering it was the first one. We talked off
exactly.
the air.
Exactly.
I mean, you never know what to expect, but when it was
right.
all said and done, you felt it was worth it.
We did have people from the community. We had a lot of volunteers,
right.
and we had different groups coming up, like Dearborn Goes Green. They are students from U of M Dearborn, and their goal is to get the green groups in Dearborn to network.
Okay.
And they do a lot of things in Dearborn. Then Save Our Pools, they had a table there. And they're trying to make the pools more energy efficient, so we would like to form a coalition and network with them.
Hey, if the pools cost less money to run, there's a better chance that they'll still be around.
Right.
I know we have about a minute. I wanted
okay.
to ask you, Marianne, because of the roundtables, you have one coming up on the 25th.
Right.
We've done something like this before. I remember when Ian was a big part of it.
He
Ian Tram?
Tram,
is he still involved?
Yes.
And we went outside of the Interpretive Center at U of MD, and we looked at the rain garden. And
right.
Is that kind of what we're going to be doing in this next one?
Yes, looking at native plants, which have long roots, and they absorb the water, so it helps filter the water before it gets into the watershed. And that's what is all around the Interpretive Center at U of M Dearborn,
mm-hmm.
is native planting. So the long roots, they go down about 15 feet, absorb the water, and help filter it before it gets into the watershed. And if anyone wants to help plan any meetings or find out about the Dearborn Sustainability Coalition, you can go to DearbornSustainability@gmail.com, or we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/DearbornSustainability.
And I recommend signing up for the newsletters. They're not intrusive. They're just basically updates to give you an idea of like a recap of what just happened at whatever function, and then some of the things that are coming up in the future. Marianne, you're doing such an awesome job. This is Marianne Beyer, and again, from the, what's it called?
Dearborn Sustainability Coalition.
Got it. And if they want to get a hold of you, again, the email?
DearbornSustainability@gmail.com.
Marianne, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right.
Bye now.
Thank you, Dennis, for that great interview with Marianne, and hope all of your listeners are taking notes on those dates and times and the websites, because it's very important to be part of the change that we all need. And if you don't agree, find out what the facts are, okay? That's what WHFR Journal is all about. We know we call it the new WHFR Journal, and the reason for that is it's trying to give you new ideas and new thoughts every week. We're not necessarily saying you should believe everything we say, but we're saying, hey, dig in there, find out for yourself, research, and try to make a difference, you know, try to change for the better. Wait, a lot of people talk about change. Let's look about the changes that are really going to help us in the future. The one thing I'm always talking about, of course, is, you know, energy savings and energy efficiency. I mean, you know about the price of gas and oil going up and energy resources dwindling and supplies from foreign countries getting more and more scarce. You know, now's the time to invest in that and to start making a change in our own lives. Because if anybody waits 10, 20, 50 years, it's going to be a real disaster, a terrible disaster if you think times are bad now economically. And it's mainly all about energy and the environment. I mean, nobody wants to even live, much less burn energy in where we have dirty water, dirty air, and dirty food.
And it's not, and the education is everywhere now. It's not like it's hard to find or just a few people are doing it or whatever. It's so, I mean, it's almost, I almost feel odd not recycling now. And my kids are the first ones to point that out. So it is. It's multi-generation. And it's the same thing with this education process. That's what they're doing at their booth. Yes, they're selling energy conscious merchandise, for lack of a better, energy efficient merchandise,
mm-hmm.
but that money's going to back into some of their worthwhile projects as well as this education.
Right.
All right. I was trying to think of a segue there, but I couldn't.
Well, we'd like to jump into some of the news stories, and we're waiting for a guest from the petitioners that are here. The homecoming does have an official, you might call it a free public speech area, where you do not need to have a table or a booth. But if you want to hand out flyers about a political issue or a cause or ask for people to sign petitions, again, you're not actually technically even allowed to ask, but there are some people out here. So we thought we would try to get them for an interview a little later in the hour just to let you know what's going on here. But 32nd Dearborn Homecoming, 3 days in a row, just getting started now. Fantastic events, fantastic free music, and we'll be giving you reports every hour that WHFR is out here. But for the Journal, I'd like to look at something that actually got more controversy than I thought it would. In Dearborn Heights, the City Council of Dearborn Heights approved an agreement to share fuel between the fire departments of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. So the agreement states that both cities have arranged to share a fueling station on North Beach Daily Road in an effort to help Dearborn fire trucks save diesel fuel. Good for them. They run on diesel. All
sure.
Right. I have a diesel car.
There's a lot of good things in there.
Okay. Well, anyway, the council approved the agreement. This is the Dearborn Heights Council, 6-1. But Councilman Thomas Berry dissenting. Netapigian agreed, apparently, one of our friends here.
He didn't dissent.
Right,
sure.
No. But he said the agreement violates the city charter as a keytroll system, which monitors how much fuel is used as the station's pump was installed before council approval. He said, as far as I'm concerned, what you said is, forget city council and the authority they have to go, they have in the charter. Go ahead and do it anyway. I guess it's because it looks like they're helping a city other than Dearborn Heights, and legally can they really do that? You know, do they have the right to share their fuel? I mean, Dearborn is paying, but it's apparently a lot cheaper to share at this fueling site than it is to get it for themselves somewhere else.
Okay.
So thank you.
Gratitude to Dearborn Heights,
City Council. Dearborn Fire Chief Richard Miller that we had on Netapigian Show along with the Dearborn...
The mayor?
No, Dearborn Fire Chief Richard Miller. We've been trying to get him on this show.
That's the one, right. Right, right.
And he may be out here at Homecoming. May see him in the next couple days.
I've been looking.
And Andy Gurka, who is the fire chief of Dearborn Heights. And they just sat down and said this would be a good thing to do to help both parties. And I don't think anybody's losing money. It's just a little question, I guess, for that one person on the Dearborn City Council, whether or not it's, one city can actually legally help another city.
I think
like
that,
that
is a funny question.
Yeah, it seems like you're, because they're not losing any money at it.
There's always that one person. No, I'm just kidding.
State Representative 15th District George Duraney has an editorial in the Sunday Times, which actually came out on Wednesday, Times Herald, about staying healthy in the heat. We saw him out here today.
Yep.
And so I guess he read his own article.
He looked healthy.
Stay hydrated. A lot of water. Drink that water, folks. Okay? Take frequent breaks. Stay out of the sun. And never leave children or pets alone in enclosed vehicles.
Without the windows cracked. Sure.
Yeah, it's amazing how often that goes on. I think it might have. I'm trying to figure out why people would be so crazy or so risky to do that. They think they're only going to go in the store for a minute or something, then they get distracted.
Or they always get in a long line at checkout.
Just don't do that, folks. Don't do that because the heat builds up inside cars tremendously and very quickly. So, well, it's only 80 degrees out. But in that car closed up, it could be 110 degrees or more.
Mm-hmm.
And especially a young child will be dehydrated and have some major health problem in probably about 10 or 15 minutes even in that situation. So don't risk that. Okay.
Okay.
That was the Times Herald. Moving on to the Dearborn Press and Guide. And because they had so, there's so many things going on in the Dearborn area, street fairs and art fairs and everything that, not much else going on in the fair. But the Dearborn Homecoming, oh my goodness.
This takes everybody's attention this weekend.
Yeah. Okay, so what I found was...
especially with the bands that they have this year.
Yep, yep. Well, we can't afford the real thing.
Well, I was a huge
We have two tribute bands on Saturday and Sunday nights. Saturday night, since you brought it up, is what's called Frontiers,
yep.
A group called Frontiers. But they are a Journey tribute band. So the band Journey... Is it a high squeaky voice guy doing
Steve
the
Perry,
lead?
Yep.
Steve Perry, right.
I checked them out a little bit online, and they sound very authentic.
Yeah, most of the tribute bands, a lot of the fans would say, they sound better than the original.
Well, that was certainly the case with the Billy Joel last year. Remember that? He was very good.
Right, yeah. And on Sunday night, they're called Hotel California, and they are an Eagle tribute band.
Arguably their biggest hit,
A Salute to the Eagles. Hotel California was, I think, the title of their first album, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's how they picked it for the name of their group. So that's 8:30 to 10 on Sunday night. Tonight, it's not a tribute band. It's a real band with real people. Larry Lee and Back in the Day Band. And I understand Larry Lee is he a former or a current football player?
Former Lions player.
Oh, boy.
Larry Lee, yes. And he was, I think he's still with the organization or the league in some capacity. But isn't, I think Bugs Badeau is tonight as well.
Yes, before that on the Stage B, as they call it, which is just right next to the main stage on Ford Field out here in West Dearborn, Bugs Badeau, fantastic club, blues, R&B, rock band. Oh, they're tight.
Absolutely.
I mean, they really, their arrangements and their, fantastic boogieing time. I've experienced them once or twice. They're on Uncut Detroit, either two or three that we're selling here for $10 each. So they're WHFR favorites, certainly. And they're out here for free from 6 to 7:30. And then 8:30 to 10 is Laurie Lee and Back in the Day Band. So we're going to have a rockin' time here. Actually, in between, I should mention another band, FCS, Food Court Stage, the Bomb Squad.
Oh, really?
From the police department, but a rock band. I think they do cover songs. And they've been around in past years, I know, and everybody really loves their high-spirited performances, too. So a lot of great bands here, all free entertainment, carnival rides for a small fee, and, of course, the food court food for a small fee also. But but a great time to be out and about. And there's a lot of nonprofit organizations besides WHFR. We have a whole bunch of organizations that are trying to meet the community and talk about their causes. You interviewed Mary Ann from Sustainability Committee, which is really
coalition.
Partners with the League of Women Voters
right.
in the last several times that they've done things. I saw the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. They have a booth out there next to the food court. So a lot of things are going on here. So you got to try to plan to get out here this weekend.
And you're talking about nonprofits, and of course they have the Kiwanis does the famous turtle race too.
Right.
And that's a nonprofit.
That'll be on
event.
Sunday afternoon.
On
but
Sunday.
You need to reserve or rent your turtles by number.
That's right.
No turtles will be harmed in this event. They're plastic. But it goes to help the local kids as the Kiwanis.
I didn't know that they were
projects.
Real turtles at first. I was led to believe nobody lied to me.
Oh, you didn't? You thought they were real?
Yeah, this was a few years back because this has been going on for.
Sorry to break your heart on
that. And I got there for the race and I bought a ticket and I was a little bit disappointed.
Well, they dropped them in this little creek here and I think the water flow is fairly good, but it's like 1,500 or more plastic turtles
That's
are
right.
dropped in. And then they wait to see how many get, 1,000 yards further downstream.
Right.
And
mine went in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, they're giving away a lot of things,
speaking
too.
About the food court, let me feature Tom Watkins' article here about sausage and laws. This is editorial opinion from the Wednesday Press and Guide. And Tom Watkins was, by the way, a former Michigan State Superintendent of Schools. Who was ousted by Jennifer Granholm 5 years ago? And here it goes. It has been said, he says, that the two things you do not want to witness being made are sausage and laws. Watching President Barack Obama and the so-called congressional leadership fumble the U.S. debt crisis has done nothing to dissuade us from this old adage. What an embarrassing mess. It is not as though the debt crisis is a surprise. The more than $14 trillion of U.S. debt did not suddenly sneak up on the country. It has been building for years, brought about by promising the American people a free lunch. And my own snide comment would be a free breakfast and a free dinner, too, I think. Anyway, America has been on the wrong track with Republicans and Democrats running the train. So he's blaming both major parties. Fighting two wars without asking the people to sacrifice and reach into our pockets and pay for them? Nope. But the tab on our American Express, or better yet, borrow over $1 trillion from the Chinese to pay for it. Want free prescription drugs for granny? It's a great idea, wonderful policy, and good politics. We all know that seniors vote. Should we ask the American people to pay for the drugs? No way, he says. Instead, charge it to our kids' Visa card. You know, Canada has a healthcare system, and they have all free drugs. In fact, you don't have to worry about which plan you're on or copay or anything like that. And they pay for it in taxes. Everybody shares the burden appropriately. And that's why they have health care that they can afford. That's why their health care is better than ours, folks. And this is, of course, Jay Koronek's editorial opinion on top of one, Tom Watkins. But of course, he's criticizing our leaders in that they put these programs in place, and even if some of them seem like they're a good idea, they decide not to come up with any way to pay for them, except to borrow more money from China, as he mentions. Okay, he goes on to say, allow Wall Street to make a fortune while bringing the country to its economic knees, stripping the equity from our homes, and trouncing the value of any retirement savings we may have accumulated. Wall Street got the gold mine, we got the shaft. The American people have been watching as Republicans and Democrats alike have been grinding up the American dream, our collective futures. In 2008, the electorate bought President Obama's change we can believe in. That has not worked out so well to date, he says. In 2010, it was the Tea Party, which has turned out to be more a tea kettle, letting off steam but not producing much, perhaps forcing an impasse on addressing our national debt crisis with the potential, and of course he wrote this before we did get that signed earlier this week, but what a bad bargain. I won't go into details here, but
right. That's a whole other show.
Yeah. What I've read, well, I have to talk about the super committee that they're going to set up to how to cut an additional $1.5 billion or $1 trillion, whatever the heck it is.
This is a lot of zeros.
That seems patently unconstitutional to me, Dennis, and that's my editorial opinion and not the opinion of the college, by the way.
Right.
How can Congress decide to set up another Congress so they don't have to make a decision? That doesn't make sense. To streamline, you know, the activities, I think it's unconstitutional, number one. And then what are you going to get? Who are they going to pick? Are they really going to pick 12 bipartisan people?
Right.
No, it's going to be half Democrats and half Republicans.
And we have a gridlock.
It just means that anybody who's not on the committee, they get a political free ride. So they can go back home and say, well, that wasn't my decision. The super committee did it.
Right.
But those poor 12 people, the six Democrats, they're going to have to take all the heat for whatever they do.
Well, then they better make the right decision. That's all I got to say.
I hope they make a decision that can be justified as a truly bipartisan one. In other words, they make a decision that's based in reality. And I think everybody should know, all economists say, we cannot just cut our way out of this recession, this depression.
No, we had a generation.
We need investments. And, of course, I don't feel we've been making investments in the right direction, that is energy savings, energy reduction.
You mean on a national scale?
And environmental causes.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a national scale. That can really give payback short term. And any other investments, it's just pork barrel as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I am very concerned, I'm sure the city of Dearborn is what they just passed, which is a lot of cuts. It could still, even though they said a month or two ago it won't endanger the Dearborn train station. But even if we build that $28 million train station, even if we get the go-ahead on that because it was stimulus money from last year,
right,
or the year before, whatever, and it's been held up, they haven't been able to start building it because of all kinds of permits and approval of land use and so on.
Right.
But that money could be cut. The way I read it is, in the current bill, they've cut out all train money for the whole country now.
Right.
And
so, and you're thinking if they haven't
even
got
if we, any... even if we build it, there won't be any trains coming
well,
there.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to say.
I mean, you've got a $28 million station, and we've got no high-speed trains, no increased service even with low-speed trains.
Well, you already know the high-speed's off in the future even more now.
But I'm saying that investment is all going to be for nothing until you get the high-speed rail and the increased train service,
right,
which was, I thought, going to be part of a major bill. But I understand that the train bill that was in the new budget has been cut completely. The new federal budget, cut completely. So even if we get a brand new train station, whoop-de-doo, there won't be any more trains, and they won't be high speed. So maybe it'll help maybe some of the business in West Dearborn. The taxis can pull in easier or something.
Yeah, that's what they were. It's a nice hub for the buses, right?
Yeah, maybe it will encourage a few people from Ann Arbor to come to Greenfield Village or something, you know. But the trip to Chicago will still take 8 hours. You know, it's just crazy stuff. And so investment in infrastructure... Oh, my gosh, the number of jobs that'll bring about? You say, well, government shouldn't be the ones giving jobs out. Yes, it should. Nobody can get more jobs started faster than the government.
And, you know, and the train didn't just stop in Dearborn. It went through Detroit all the way to Pontiac. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a city in as bad a situation as Pontiac. I mean, there's a few within our state, but Pontiac's having a really rough time. This was something that obviously they were looking at with high speed wasn't necessarily going to Pontiac. I don't
Not
mean
right
that,
away, no.
But I mean, this was something that along the way this was going to develop, and Pontiac was looking at it with wide eyes. So
yes.
I agree.
Well, you don't have to, and no one listening has to either. But because a lot of people, let business do all the hiring. Let private business. Well, let's do it then. Ford has made billions of dollars for the last three quarters.
That's right.
Where are the jobs? Most of the jobs are not in Michigan. They're not rehiring people they laid off. They're hiring more highly skilled people. Most of the jobs Ford has added in the last year have been overseas.
That's right.
Now, of course, they are an international company, and they do sell in other countries, too. But I'm just saying is that private business will not get enough jobs started in the U.S. by itself to get us out of this doldrum and this economic downturn. It's government investing in just the right places for just a limited amount of time. I mean, talk about trickle down. That will be starting from the bottom up. And maybe it'll trickle up to the rich, too. Who knows? But, you know, we've got to get people back to work, and we've got to get community services going. We've got to keep the environment clean.
But in a sense, you were even looking at the high-speed rail as an investment, as a way of drawing more people. They could work here, maybe even live in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And work for the motor companies. We were really opening our border at that point. No,
if Michigan had the money itself, that's what it should do. It should increase high-speed rail throughout all of Michigan. Imagine the tourists, even among Michigan. People go up north more often rather than getting stuck in a traffic jam on I-75.
I recently read, within the last 2 weeks, that Michigan was in the top three as far as destinations for tourism. And
right.
There's no question, we have a beautiful state.
Yes.
But for how long will that be the case if all through the state services are cut and
right.
Nobody's running that museum, that beautiful museum that you'd like to see?
Cutbacks in state parks, cutbacks in environmental protection, and we can't hold out long. We have a great variety of territory and property and geography and many recreational opportunities. I didn't realize that Sleeping Bear Dunes is the largest area of sand dunes in the whole U.S. I thought maybe northern New Mexico or something.
Interesting.
They have like Sandia, near the Sandia Museum, which is actually part of the government testing grounds for blowing up bombs and planes and that. But
we don't do that in Michigan.
Huge desert areas, but technically not sand dunes.
Right. It's gorgeous over there.
I actually, years ago, I went on a sand dune dune ride. They had dune rides. Now, they don't have them anymore.
They don't?
Because it's a hazard to the environment.
Okay. I went on them, too. And didn't they drive rather fast? Do you remember that?
Yeah. They had dunes at, like 45-degree angle. And they seemed like 10 or 12 passenger dune buggies with four-wheel drive. And
I just remember them pulling up to a big cliff on Lake Michigan and saying, that's 300 feet down.
Right,
We almost went over.
Well, it was great fun, and now probably too many people do it. But you can still, I remember a few years ago, there were still some trails. If you had a four-wheel drive Jeep, you could get a permit to drive out there yourself. But I guess they just had too many dune buggies just blowing that sand around. And they did have some accidents, even in the dune buggies, which are quite safe.
So you can't drive through there?
I'm not sure anybody can drive over the dunes now.
Huh.
You can park up close and walk out, I guess, but...
Well, you've done that, haven't you? Then did you roll down or run down or whatever?
Well, I wasn't into rolling down.
Oh, we used to roll down as kids.
Yeah, but,
sure.
Okay. So sausage and laws, you don't want to have to witness them being made. It's a difficult process at best. I don't have any sympathy for the people that didn't know how to compromise, that didn't know how to get scientific opinion and take that stance on these issues. If you're so narrow-minded, you say no new taxes all the time to everything, or cuts only, no support, no continuation, then we'll never move ahead, because there's always exceptions to every principle. Okay, we have another guest from Dearborn Homecoming here, and I'll let her introduce herself. Dennis is giving his headphones up for this moment. Hi, and welcome. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. And who do we have with us? Give me your name, please.
My name is Angie Zaley.
Zaley. I'll pronounce it. I'll put it phonetically on there. Okay. Now, you and a couple of the folks are wearing bright red shirts saying, Recall Snyder, Ask Now. And you're totally legally, appropriately located in our free speech zone, just a little bit south of the WHFR booth on Monroe Street. And I just wanted you to explain to the people what you're all about. There's actually two petitions that you're asking people to consider signing.
Yes.
Okay. And so describe both of them. The first one says Recall Snyder. I heard today on the news that you don't have enough votes. Apparently, I think you need something unbelievable like 800,000 to put this issue on the ballot to recall Governor Snyder from his elective office in November. But
right.
You're still going to continue and try to submit at the end of September for maybe an election early next year, February.
February, yes.
Okay. So is that a straight, pretty much a clear issue? It's to, if you vote in favor once the election happens, if you petition makes the vote happen and a majority of people vote for it, Snyder will be out of office almost immediately? Is that what...
Yeah, what happens is if we get the signatures, it goes on the ballot in February. If the voters elect to recall him, the lieutenant governor will take over until we can have another general election, in which case all of the parties will put up their candidates and we will have another election for governor at that point,
okay.
Which will probably be next November.
Now, February, is that the way it works? I thought how many months before the next gubernatorial election? Isn't it the fall of...
They have a special election.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah,
the lieutenant governor temporarily, but then they'd have to do it the next November.
Right, right.
So it'd actually be a year earlier than the usual gubernatorial election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm not totally innocent on some of these political issues. If you take out a Republican governor and he's replaced by a Republican lieutenant governor, you still will pretty much have the same laws being passed,
yes.
Though, for that period of time.
For that period of time, yes. We're hoping that at least that the message will be sent that the people, this is not what the people want, and, you know, hopefully that person will make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we always have the chance of that happening. In the meantime, that's why we're doing the other petition.
But the lieutenant governor wouldn't, if he was remaining in office, if the recall did bring Snyder out next February, the lieutenant governor, who is the lieutenant governor anyway these days?
Callie, is his name?
Really? I didn't know the name of the Republican lieutenant governor. I barely knew John Cherry's name until he decided to run for governor, and he was actually here a couple years ago, and you see how well that went for him. So I'm sorry, you're not sitting in the same seat. He was sitting here, so don't worry. But I wanted to make the point, and you probably would too, is that signing a recall petition does send a message, even if you don't get enough names to get on the ballot in an election.
Right.
That there's, you know, people pay attention to that many hundreds of thousands of signatures, and it could influence even Snyder if he stays in office.
Yes.
That it
yes,
may
absolutely.
Make a significant difference in how he sees his last year or so in office, even if he wins an election.
Right.
Or if he, you know, avoids being recalled.
And we also have several recall efforts that are happening all over the state for senators and you know, representatives that are fighting the same fight as Snyder. They're the ones voting for these laws that the people are not happy with.
I know you have a second petition that people can sign to, and we'll talk about that in a second. But just from your own point of view, Angie, what would you say are the top two or three reasons that what maybe based on actions of Governor Snyder, bills that he recommended and passed, that you think would deserve a recall?
First off, the cutting of funding for education. So he's taking money away from education. And we understand that we need to balance a budget and that we do need to have some shared sacrifice. The second reason is that money that they're cutting from education is going to big business and tax breaks.
Right. There was about a 1%, it depends how you look at it, but there were the new business tax, so-called, is
right.
less than what business was paying, most businesses were paying before.
Right.
And well, I certainly, and again, I'm not taking a position on this, but I think everybody should know that even though there was a slight additional couple bucks tossed in at the last minute to the K-12 budget for next year, it's still hundreds of dollars per pupil that are being lost with almost no way many of these districts. Detroit is so sad a situation.
Yeah.
Dearborn, a further layoffs of teachers, larger class sizes. My daughter teaches in Southfield Public Schools in
yeah.
a middle school. The stories, the horror stories I hear there,
mm-hmm.
and more to come because of the budget cuts for next year. The average person, if you don't have a connection to the schools, like a relative who's a teacher or a kid's actually going to a school right now, you don't know the crisis. And in fact, it's so bad that my daughter, and she lives in Dearborn, and my granddaughter is 4 years old, she's not even considering, if she can afford it, sending my daughter to a public school.
Right.
Now, is there a better charter school? Is there a better private school? Can she afford it? Not really, being a teacher, but she might decide to scrimp on everything just for the sake. And it's too bad because she went to Dearborn School. She knows what they were like back in the 90s.
Yeah.
They're not like that anymore. They don't have the same facilities, the same number of teachers per student, the same number of programs. They're doing as best they can. And I think they're doing better in Southfield, since I mentioned Southfield. But and then, of course, higher education. Henry Ford Community College that WHFR is a part of,
yeah.
They've kept community college funding stable, thank goodness, this
yeah.
year. And we're serving more than ever. Why? Because they cut a huge amount, 5% or more, out of the higher ed, the public educational universities, public colleges and universities. And it's so bad for them, they've got to raise tuition. Well, then nobody can go to college because they can't afford it.
Right.
So that's why we're being overloaded. We've got, I think, almost 20,000 students on a campus that was designed for 14. We've added some buildings. We're building a new science building. Should be done by October. Sort of delaying science classes for a little while to finish the building. And so these are things for people to consider. Is that enough to sign a recall petition? Is it enough to at least put your signature down as saying there's some things you don't like? Give me another reason, just one more for the recalling of Snyder.
The other reason, and it has to do with the other petition, is that he signed the bill for Public Act 4. That's the emergency manager law.
Actually, this is the increased emergency manager
right,
law.
Right,
Governor Granholm had one, but this new one was passed in January, and a little bit about it.
Well, previously that law was a cooperative effort where they could assign an emergency manager. That person would go in and work with the city government or the school district or the township that was in financial need. They needed some support and help getting out of the financial distress.
Right.
The new law that they've done, the increased powers, pretty much gives that person the power to do, there's really no limitations. They can go in there. They can eliminate union contracts for your police, your fire, your teachers. They can sell off the city assets without the permission of the people of the city, so they could get rid of your park. They could sell it off and put
the
a business
city council,
in there.
The mayor, no power anymore.
Right. That's the other thing. They can just get rid of your city council. They can get rid of your mayor. It's already happened in Benton Harbor. In Benton Harbor, their city council was told that the only thing they're allowed to do is call a meeting to order, approve minutes, and adjourn a meeting. They're not allowed to do anything else. So it's taking away our rights, our constitutional rights as citizens. To have a voice.
Dennis earlier and I were talking about this, and he said, and I've heard this before in different contexts, well, they won't really go in there and do this dictatorially unless they have to, and even the threat of it is enough to get people on the right track. And I said, and there's many points of view on this, but I said, I don't want any law in the books that say that our elected leaders can become dictators.
Right.
Tyrants, whenever they want to,
right?
Whether it's a single issue or all the issues.
Right.
And I pointed out Adolf Hitler in Germany, that the parliament there in 1932, when he was elected chancellor, said, you know, we give you the right to do anything you want to do. So the next year, he disbands the parliament.
Right.
Because he doesn't need them, because he's already got the right to do anything he wants to do.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't put that in place as a rule, as a law.
Well,
I mean, I think that law is unconstitutional anyway, and I don't know if some people are trying to fight it in the courts. That'll take years, and of course, Michigan Supreme Court is primarily with judges that have been, their campaigns were funded by the Republican Party, so you can't see them as finding in favor of our situation. So that's the second petition
that
you
is
have.
The second petition.
And you'll be glad, and your other colleague down there and others will be glad to talk to people more if they want more
share
details.
More information.
I noticed that you're not coming out and you're not pushy-shovey with these petitions. People can stop and talk to you, and you'll talk to them, and so you're following all the rules that Dearborn has set up for this sort of thing.
All those rules that they set up, we are doing our best to follow those rules.
Yep.
Even though those rules are not necessarily our constitutional
rights. I wish it was a little larger area and maybe it had some shade for you, but everything. So.
We asked if we could put up a tent and we're told no.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, there'll probably be some other folks joining you in that area over the weekend, but are you going to try to be here tomorrow and Sunday?
Yes, we're going to be here tomorrow and Sunday.
Okay. That's Angie, but other people are here, too, helping with their petition drive. And again, I think you ought to consider it in a democracy. Signing the petition has political significance. Whether or not they get their numbers, whether or not the election works out favorably or not,
right. It
still has a significant political meaning. It sends a message that is really quite clear to the powers that be. And so thank you for being part of the democratic process.
We have a lot of people that want to sign, and we're having trouble getting to them.
Mm.
So if anybody is interested in volunteering and helping us collect petitions or collect signatures, please visit us and let us know. We'd be happy to have you join our team.
Very good. Thank you for your time today, Angie.
Thank you.
On the new WHFR Journal. Try to stay cool.
Thanks.
Okay. She's giving up her seat and headset now back to Dennis, and we still have another, about 18 minutes before we're going back to the station for our music programming to begin about 2 o'clock. And so let's take a look here. Okay, this is on the political issue, too. Dennis, I was coming out, I think I showed you this, of the parking lot of the main post office here in Dearborn two days ago. And there were two men in Save Our Pools T-shirts, senior citizen type, age type, like
did
myself.
Did it say SOP or Save Our Pools?
SOP.
You knew.
And, well, under was a small, I think it was one of their regulation T-shirts for Save Our Pools, yeah. But they were white and they had sort of faded red or orange letters on
them. Right, right.
Okay. So the flyer actually says, Dearborn votes no to higher taxes, proposals 1 and 2, Tuesday, November 8, 2011. And they try to make an argument here against the two proposals, and last week we identified what they are.
Right.
The first proposal is that the City Council of Dearborn approved a couple weeks ago an additional tax millage of 3.5 mils to help make up for the reduced property taxes that people have been paying and therefore the reduced income coming in the city. To keep on an even keel, the city has to have the same amount of money coming in. And
that was not a big surprise. I think we all knew they had the ability to do that.
Mayor O'Reilly has been stating in his meetings that that the city council would have to go to the full 15 mils, which is 1.5 additional, and that's already in place.
Right.
That already happened. Because there's no choice about that, folks. We wouldn't get through halfway into next year and keep any of this. I mean, there's been cutbacks already. The health department in Dearborn is shut down.
Gone.
One library, one branch is shut down already.
Yep.
And more cutback, but that's you know, so they raised your millage 1.5. But of course, all of us in Dearborn, I'm a Dearborn taxpayer, I've seen how my tax bill has been going down the last 5 years.
Because of property value.
Because property value. And of course, I got more money now to spend on other things. But in fact, I'm not paying the same taxes. I'm not paying for the same city services the same amount. And that's not fair to the city and to everybody else in Dearborn, I think. And so Mayor O'Reilly said, no, we're going to need an additional 3.5 mils, and the voters will have to vote on that to approve it, and that will be on the ballot. That's Proposal 1 on the ballot in November for the people of the city of Dearborn.
Now, is that the one that has the sunset clause, five years?
Yes, that'll only be 5 years, and it'll go away.
So wait, now let me ask you one. Okay, that, it's a sunset clause. It'll go away in 5 years.
Right.
They didn't need permission to do it, but... No. There was another other proposal.
The 1.5 mil, they didn't need permission to raise that immediately.
That's what it was. Okay.
Right. But the 3.5, they need permission from the taxpayers. And I've said this before, too, in other communities nearby, Garden City, Susan McGraw is at the other table there.
Right. Oh,
they've had two millages in the last 2 years. I don't know what they're going to do. They've both gone down to failure. And each one gets bigger. First, they're asking for 12 mils additional.
As if that's
and
not
now
bad
they're
enough.
Asking for 21 mils additional.
Of course, people will say no, you know?
Well, it's a huge amount.
A lot of money.
3.5, and I know there were a couple of votes, and I couldn't track them down from this last Tuesday in the local area asking for millage increases, and I know that one of them in a nearby city was voted down also.
Right.
But it was from like 13 mils. Now, that would greatly increase your tax payments. Or payment, depending on how you do it. But in Dearborn, they're only asking for 3.5.
And the argument is that your taxes went down already, so this is compensation. So basically, you would be paying the same much you were paying 2 or 3 years ago.
In terms of dollars, your taxes have dropped significantly,
so,
and you're not even going to be, the city's not even going to be making up for the dollars they've already lost.
Exactly. And then with the sunset clause on this, in 5 years, you're going back to the way it is now.
Right. So, they can either vote a renewal of this if needed, or maybe if property values and, you know, business gets better, then if your home goes up in price, then, of course, your taxes will go up, and they won't need the 3.5 in 5 years. So.
And now, okay, and at that point, it goes away based on a vote? Or does
it just automatically go away?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll go away
That's
automatically.
That's right. You said
no
you have to vote
what.
For a renewal.
Right.
Okay.
Well, in this brochure, there's five or six reasons given, and I'll mention who is behind it, too, against these Dearborn proposals. The first point brings up, who knows how to spend your money better than you do? Mayor J.J. O'Reilly, Jr., and he misspells O'Reilly's name.
Does he?
Yeah. And the city council? Well, I think that's what we elect them for. Yes, we elect the city council and the mayor to spend our money.
They have my permission.
For city services. I can't go out and hire a trash company to take away the trash from the front of my house. That would cost a fortune.
Right.
But you do it all together to save money.
That's exactly right.
Duh. I'm sorry, I'm distorting the
no,
the,
but no,
the
that, and that goes for the leaf collection and the yeah. snow removal and the keep right. This is what city services are about.
And they point out, did you know your taxes were already raised 1.38 mils without voter approval?
Yeah.
If you don't, we've told you here on the Journal.
Yeah.
That already happened. But they need that. They need a total of about 5 mils to make up for what was lost. Okay. Then how dare J.J. O'Reilly, I never heard him called J.J.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him if he likes that.
J.J. and I misspelled his name again. And the city council expect the taxpayers to bail them out of a $20 million deficit that they created through mismanagement and malfeasance. I don't get that impression. I mean, I'd like to see a whole bunch of new initiatives on the part of the city.
Sure.
But other than the boondoggle that actually, I'm sorry to say, rest in peace, Mayor Guido got us into with the Combined Sewer Overflow Project, which is $400 million, that I don't think we needed.
Right.
I knew of other plans that were much cheaper. But... No. Other than that, which was, that's old news, like 15 years ago, we're still paying for it, though.
Well, I know, but we were talking...
I don't think anybody is mismanaging. I don't know anybody in Dearborn that would agree that the city council or the mayor's office has been mismanaging or spending funds wildly on anything.
We're talking about a part of the country that was hit as hard, if not harder, than any other one.
Yeah,
and with,
right.
with the you know, how we make our money here, and Ford Motor Company didn't have a banner year at the beginning of this economic downturn. Anyway, the city was already losing money, and the property values were already going down. So it's an interesting twist.
Yeah, well, they mentioned that home values and properties have dropped. Well, that's not the fault of the government, you know.
No, they're doing everything they can to reverse it.
And but then the irony is, the proposal says that the city council and O'Reilly should resign in shame for even placing the proposals on the ballot. Well, okay, that's your opinion. But it says, at the end, we strongly support our group Save Our Pools. Well, without the 3.5 mils, I'm sorry to tell you folks, you're not going to save any pools anyway. That's discretionary money that could help save the pools. We'll look at the advisory questions next.
Right, right,
so
right.
Without that 3.5, you're not going to save the pools. You're not going to save city services of any sort, the libraries.
No, he would lead you to believe that this
Forget
is
it.
Earmarked money, and it's not.
So ironic that they want to save the pools, but they're against the 3.5 additional mils.
Right. Jay, we've talked about it. That is typical, where a lot of people don't want to raise taxes, but they want the money to magically appear.
And on the flyer, they strongly endorse Adam Salam Adamski for the Dearborn School Board of Trustees.
Okay.
He was the one that was handing these out.
Interesting.
Along with another gentleman.
Wasn't his name in the paper in a big
yes.
quarter-page ad?
Yes.
2 weeks ago?
He took out an ad against Janet Badalow, who is running for city clerk. And she has actually won city clerk for the final election in November anyway. So the man's name is Pruziewski?
Okay.
Pruziewicz. Yes. Anybody know Polish? Pruziewicz. Susan McGraw. Pruziewicz?
Yeah. Susan McGraw.
Pruziewicz?
You know Polish.
Pruziewicz.
That's
Pruziewicz.
That's right. Pruziewicz. All right. So Pruziewicz and Badalow got the top two slots. They're going to be up battling for city clerk's office in Dearborn Heights in November. But Adam Adamski took out this ad that we mentioned on this show 2 weeks ago in the Press and Guide. It attacked Janet Badalow on grounds that had almost nothing to do with being a city clerk, and primarily criticized her for being a supporter of
the quarter-page ad.
Yeah, well, a supporter of Israel.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So, oh yeah.
So and of course he also had to on his house in Dearborn Heights a few years ago. He. That you know he wasn't supporting Israel, and he put up Nazi symbols on his house just because the Nazis didn't like the Israeli Jews
trying to make a point.
Too much either, which is kind of going, I don't really know if... Anyway, his name then was Mario Fundarski, and we interviewed him even on the Journal when he was running for something else a few years ago.
Really?
And I said before, and Mario, if you're listening, or Adam, if you're listening now, you have some good points a lot of people agree with, but your rationales and your logic... I can't figure it out. I mean, and you're certainly free to your opinions. We've given you a lot of time, including today, mentioning your opinions, even though we had some analyses
that
maybe didn't agree. But
just looks at the... Sometimes there's contradictions. That's the only reason
right.
why.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So we do have only a couple minutes left today, but very briefly we'd like to interview someone from the Kiwanis. His name is Dr. Jim, and I think it's Dr. Jim Rogensky. And Dr. Jim, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, was a former student of mine, and I won't say in which millennium that was, you are a prominent local area chiropractor here.
Yes.
Your office still on Michigan Avenue. But here with the Kiwanis, we want to talk about the Turbo Turtle Derby, or the Turbo Turtle Race. It's sort of replaced now at Dearborn Homecoming. We used to have sort of a raffle for getting a new car or a new car lease or
right.
something.
Right.
And this is exciting. This is a spirit of competition. All these plastic turtles going down the creek, I think Sunday at 4 o'clock. But why don't you talk briefly about the Kiwanis, the benefits and the proceeds from this. What the special programs are going to this?
Yeah, Dearborn Auto Drive Kiwanis does a lot of community service work, mainly focused on children. And not just the little kids, but the big kids, too. We did the Elder Fest Bingo here at Homecoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
We do bingo for the seniors. One of my favorite projects is a dictionary project.
Mm-hmm.
Every year we give each third grader in Dearborn a personal dictionary to keep. Now, how's that a concept, giving a kid a book?
How many words are in that?
Oh, it's a student dictionary. It's designed.
Hardbound, paperback?
It's a paperback.
Well, that's okay, but.
And it's a gazetteer version, which has geographic information.
Oh, good, yeah.
It has the Declaration of Independence.
Mini encyclopedia sort of, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, they say that with all the social media today, kids, even the younger kids, are getting into Facebook and Twitter, and maybe there's some inappropriate uses of that going on. But even with email, it increases their desire to write.
Exactly.
And I think they discover rather quickly, if you don't spell the word correctly, the other person is not going to be able to figure out what you mean, although maybe you can use an emoticon or something that everybody
yes.
understands. But I think it's great for the kids to have such a document. So in the way that I always think of the Kiwanis doing projects at Christmas time.
We help out
quite
a
visibly
lot
at Christmas. Quite
yes,
visible at Christmas, but
Salvation
it's all throughout
Army.
The year.
Mm-hmm. We do Salvation Army. We help a lot of other different groups. We help the Goodfellows sell newspapers. We do a safety town in June, which teaches preschoolers all about safety, a two-week program.
Well, yeah, and you've helped WHFR radio several times in the last several years when we needed equipment and facilities improvement.
Well, I have to help out my favorite teacher.
Yeah, you actually have quite a number of HFCC faculty that are still your clients, I believe. I won't mention any names, but and deservedly so. They report. I've never had to visit. I've always been pretty well aligned, I think, or something. But I probably could use some help. Maybe the next time I get an ache, I'll be over. Don't worry. Tell us about the actual buying a turtle to
yes.
in this race.
What
I know
do you do?
I bought a ticket. It's a $5 donation per ticket, and there's quantity discounts.
Yes, if you buy five. You get five turtles for $20
and
13, so there's three extra turtles there for $50.
Okay.
Each turtle has a number assigned to it.
Right.
So when the turtles, up to 2,000 turtles will go off the main bridge, they'll float down the Rouge River here to the trap device that we have set,
mm-hmm.
and that first turtle across the line, we'll look at the number on that turtle, they get $1,000.
You're going to have somebody with a camera in case it's a photo finish?
Oh, the cameras will be snapping left and right
good.
Up there.
Okay. Can they only buy the tickets for the Turtle Derby here at Homecoming now? I know you've
yes.
had them elsewhere. I interviewed
someone. We
had some
adoption stations set up, but
the
we're
Dearborn
here.
Farm Market last week. I talked to
exactly.
the people over there then.
We'll be here all weekend selling
and
tickets.
It's right across the bridge
there's
here
one
at the Ford Field?
On top of the bridge,
okay.
there's a booth, and there's also
okay.
a booth in the Civic Tent.
Okay, in the
well.
Civic Tent, too, where the nonprofits are? Or?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Very good. Dr. Jim Rogensky, thanks so much for coming
You're
on.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
Thank you for all your service for the Kiwanis, and we wish you well in getting a lot of turtles sold.
Thank
leased,
you.
Leased, whatever. You're welcome. Thanks very much for being on the Journal today. So many people coming and visiting, really getting busy here. It's beautiful weather. Hi there. Happy homecoming. And free pens, free newsletters, free stickers from WHFR. Jim, your hat? Yes. And we have 3 minutes remaining in the journal. I'm not sure we're going to have time enough to give you the exact wordings. What we do have them, and you'll tune in next week. We will go over the exact wording of the November election advisory questions, and there's four of them. But we also discovered when we went there that there's another proposal on the ballot. It doesn't have to do with money, but it will change the city charter in regard to doing away with what's called the City Civil Service Commission.
Right, and it'll be replaced. What do they call the replacement?
A Human Resources
Commission. Human Resources.
Which will have different powers, but they say that the unions negotiate all these issues now. The Civil Service Commission has no purpose. And I just wonder why the Charter Commission didn't know this a couple years ago.
Right, well.
They just revised the charter. Didn't somebody bring it up? Of course, it's a big document. And
it
some,
is.
Maybe nobody spoke
up. So it sounds like they're really
the time,
streamlining that particular division.
Yeah.
You know what? That's good.
I don't see why anyone would vote no on that proposal.
No.
Because we're not turning it over to the unions anyway. They're still going to... The unions have their contracts in place, and they'll be negotiating what's appropriate there, and the city will change that if they need to. But the Human Services Commission can review these things in a more appropriate way. In other words, the specific powers of the Civil Service Commission haven't been able to be exercised for years,
right.
And it's not really appropriate for them to do it. It's legally not possible even. So hopefully that one will be a no-brainer on the ballot. I should say, too, if you're not registered to vote, you can't vote on November 2nd. And when do you need to be registered by? October 2nd, or depending on if it falls on a weekend or not, maybe they'll give you an extra day.
Right.
But please, if you're 18 or older in Dearborn or wherever, you cannot vote in November 2nd election wherever you are unless you're registered. And you don't lose anything. I still hear some people, I won't say what age, telling me, I don't want to be registered. The government might find out where I live.
Yeah, got news for you.
They know where you live.
I got news for you. Every
100
time
times over.
You touch that keystroke on that computer.
Anytime you do it, you got an electric bill, you got a phone
That's
bill,
right.
You got a driver's license.
Who are you hiding from anyway?
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, in fact, that would make you seem more suspicious. If you
Thank
were
you.
Really trying to do something illegal,
hey,
why not be legal in every other way?
They're probably
Register
ducking.
And vote and be a civic citizen
they're
and then do
jury
your
duty.
Dirty work
you know
on
that.
The side. But,
the way you talk about jury duty, nobody wants it now.
Oh, well, that's another issue.
All
okay.
Right.
Well, we're going to have to say goodbye and go back to the station. Thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal with our special live from Dearborn homecoming remote broadcast. Thank you, Dennis, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Mary Ann
Beyer
and Angie Zaley, who were here first speaking about, of course, Dearborn sustainability activities,
mm-hmm.
and Angie speaking about the two petition drives that you can find out more about. Neither one about Dearborn, literally, but about the state of Michigan. They're down here trying to keep cool, and they're not pushy-shovey. They're just talk to you. You can find out what it's all about.
Intelligent people. That's what we want, information.
Great time for all down here. The food is going crazy. The carnival. I've seen more people here today than I've ever seen on a Friday. So it's going to be a big homecoming afternoon, evening, a big weekend. And WHFR will be here from 11 to 8. We'll call back in about a half hour or so and give you a brief update there at the station. So thank you, Joe. And Anthony, if you're there, take it away. It's WHFR Dearborn.
This is Dr. Wally B. from Cat Daddy in the 1320s, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn, making waves.